When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hi everyone, just a quick warning that if you haven't seen Eternals, we pretty much start spoiling it almost instantly. So yeah, a warning, spoilers for Eternals in this episode.
There's only three things I know on this bitch of an earth. The PS5 is big. The McRib is back. And you're listening to Hey Fam.
Hey Fam, welcome to Hey Fam. It's me, Levins.
It's me, Kingo.
Kingo's back.
Star Fox, Pip the Troll.
I want to give
Mephistos.
Two disclaimers.
Gilgamesh.
Gilgamesh. Yeah. About my health.
Droog.
Before we continue.
Disclaimers?
First disclaimer, I know I sound hungover, not hungover. He's not. I had a cold earlier this week. I'm almost over it. I thought I had COVID at one point.
Is that comfortable for you? I think your neck's going to hurt. Yeah, this is better.
Yeah, okay, cool. Thanks. That was the second part of my health.
No, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I have a cold. I might cough. I might splutter.
It's okay. Good.
But it's fine.
Just going on me. Oh, wow.
And then the more important health thing is that this is my final Hey Fam episode as a fertile man.
Oh, well, when's
I'm getting a vasectomy next Tuesday.
When are you getting the Kingo fingers?
Yeah. I'm going to get Gilgameshed next.
Gilgamesh is going to beat gonna your punch, dick punch. Up. Or Droog is going to just get you not to nut. He's going to mind control you.
Is it just
in and out?
Yeah, it's like an hour long procedure.
Are you awake? Are you asking to be awake?
Yeah, apparently, I'm going to be awake.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so...
That's fucked. You get to, like, hear them snap your dick and stuff.
So...
That's why they put you to sleep.
So, it's shave your scrotum. So, this is what I've got to need to do. There's 10... Just like there's 10 Eternals,
yeah,
there's also 10 things I need to do before
maybe
I have my
vasectomy.
Maybe
each step we can link to an Eternal.
Okay, all right.
So shave scrotum.
Number one, shave my scrotal area from the base of my penis and along the front and sides of your scrotum one day before the appointment.
Oh, man, who's
I've
that?
I've never done that. We're like the only podcast in the world.
Who don't shave their nuts.
No, who don't, yeah, because we have Manscaped.
Yeah, no one
never
sponsors
given
us
a sponsorship.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now we might.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Yeah, because, yeah, that's sick. Okay, which Eternal's that? Who shaves balls? It's going to be one of the fellas, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Kingo, I guess.
Kingo, he's a movie star. I reckon. Pew, pew. Yeah.
Oh, of course, you're right. Yeah,
he wants to keep that shit clean in case a sex tape leaks.
All right, number two, bring a small ice pack and extra underwear with you. The underwear must be tight but comfortable.
Sprite, small, little underwear.
Number three, do not drink alcohol 2 days before the appointment.
Angelina Jolie, because they're like, oh, she can't drink.
Thina. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, she can't drink.
Yeah, in Australia.
Yeah, yeah, that's
when
right.
When they're drinking.
In the nondescript desert in Australia. Number four, no anti-inflammatory medications 2 days before the appointment.
I don't know.
Gilgamesh, because he was making his own
alcohols. Yeah, he was making moonshine.
Number five, wear loose, comfortable pants and a shirt.
You know what? Icarus, when he's in his civilian wear.
Okay, yeah,
he looks very comfortable.
Number six, eat breakfast or lunch on the day of your appointment.
Do they eat?
I love that if you get a vasectomy, you have to eat breakfast. It's the rules.
Shit. Yeah, it looks like I'm nutting always. Who eats breakfast in Eternals? I guess Ajak. I don't know anything about her.
Breakfast. Eating breakfast is a pretty boring thing to do. So maybe Cersei.
Oh yeah, Cersei.
Cersei in particular.
Yeah,
she can be the breakfast one. Number seven. I love this one. You can bring your earphones or any other musical gadget to listen during the procedure.
That's so
fun. This will
fun.
Distract your attention from the procedure.
I love that. They're like, we aren't going to knock you out, but yeah. We just want you to listen to...
You can bring a Game Boy.
Hey, fam.
Yeah. You can bring the new... was it?
Bring your gamepad.
Bring
your
Wii U
gamepad.
Bring the Wii U. Set it up on the TV.
Just like, yeah.
It's cool. I only need to be 6 meters or so away from
the
television.
Yeah, I need to be 2 meters. So can we just move the chair?
What was that new Kanye device you got?
Oh, the stem player. Yeah, you should remix stuff.
Bring a stem player, yeah.
That'd be sick.
Like
chopping up beats.
Remixing myself going, ow, my balls.
my lineage.
Who's the musical gadget eternal? Oh, obviously, Fastos.
Oh, yeah, Fastos. Yeah. He invented killing Japanese people and the stem player.
Report to the clinic at least 20 minutes before the appointment time. That's got to be Ajak.
That's classic Ajak.
Classic Ajak. Mm. You know, she's been there since the beginning. She dies 20 minutes into the movie.
She was a great character. She lives on a farm. I think that's it.
Yep. Oh, we've still got two more. Number nine, bring your FPOS card for payment, which that's got to be. That's
Druig.
Classic Druig.
That's classic.
He's just stealing people's FPOS.
You see, he's wearing that cool leather jacket at the end.
Oh, wait. He might be 10. So bring your FPOS card for payment. Because actually, it's definitely not 10.
Oh, man, Eternals wore the shittest clothes when they were like being humans.
Yeah.
I just kept thinking
that. Also, while they were being Eternals.
Wow, Eternals are easily the worst superhero costumes I've ever seen. But when they were like, pretending to be like not humans or something.
I'm going
to
say number nine, bring your FPOS card for payment. That's
Druig?
Makari.
Oh, okay.
You know,
she's fast.
She was like, you know, not everyone can knows Auslan or knows how to sign.
True.
Sign.
Okay.
So, you know,
tap and go.
Exactly. You're flashing that card out.
Yeah.
They know what you want to do.
I like that. I'm here to shop.
And then number 10, once at the clinic, tell the reception staff that you have an appointment with Dr. Whatever his name
Ajak.
Is. Dr. Ajak. Dr. Yeah. Whatever the celestial being was. That's classic Druig.
That's big Druig energy.
You know, he'll actually get
he hangs
the staff
out in like
to tell
Amazon or something, right?
Yeah, he may be
Does
the
he
most
hang out
sus
with the
Eternal.
Amazon workers when he was in the forest.
If all the Eternals are playing Among Us, who would be most sus?
Druig. But was he hanging out with all the Amazon workers in the, not the forest, but he was hanging out with all the people who like aren't allowed lunch break. He was like working for Bezos.
I saw Eternals with B on Saturday night, and I made her groan so many times just by like it was like they were in the Amazon, and I was like, oh, where's Jeff? And she was
that's
like,
so bad.
Well, the best part was at one point in the movie, Kingo goes away, and I said, where's Kingo? And B said, who's Kingo?
That's so good. And you're right. Some people say Kingo and some say Kingo in the movie.
In the movie, it's crazy. Yeah, like people.
So you're firmly Kingo. Like that's your stance. Because I, as a Beatles fan, I see Ingo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, there's Ringo or Bingo.
Yep.
Like, but I like that we have both pronunciations.
Oh no, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any. I can't think of anything that you with an O on the end of it that you pronounce like Kingo. But I always like saying mango like mango.
Mango.
It's funny.
Yeah, or manga. I read Chinese cartoons.
Oh, yeah, manga. Yeah, that's great. So, we're going to be talking about Eternals. I'm going to do... This is my fertile take on Eternals.
Yeah, I can't wait to see your post-nut clarity take. Damn, you've already got two Eternals in there.
Which Eternals are my kids?
Tilly. Oh, I don't know. Sprite, I guess, the young one. I don't know.
They're both
your kids actually are really interesting.
You want to hit both of my kids?
No, your kids
are
actually interesting,
so
I can't compare them to any Eternal.
Fuck, man, this is gonna be a wild ride. This episode.
I tell you what, if your name's Kevin Feige, you might want to turn off this because it will get some tissues because you're gonna be crying. I think you suck.
Before we get into Eternals, that was just one of the 20 movies Angus has seen since we last recorded an episode.
Yeah,
of Hey
while you're about to like stop nutting forever, my it's like my vasectomy has been reversed, and I am coming in so many movie cinemas. The movies, as Tom Cruise said during Tenet's tenure last year, the movies are back.
Yep.
And they're back with a capital B. I've seen a movie a day or two movies a day for about last week.
Last Wednesday when we recorded, or was it Thursday? I can't remember. I think it was Wednesday.
Wednesday, we saw Pompo the Pedophile.
Whatever that movie was.
Yeah.
We saw... So we
I think before that, I watched Casino Royale, like before you
on
came
the day.
Over.
Right, okay, sure. So that's last Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's currently Thursday.
Yeah.
Since then,
I've watched Skyfall, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, Spectre, No Time to Die. Oh, I'll go in order from when I've seen movies.
Okay.
Saturday, I didn't see anything, but I watched, I didn't go anywhere, but I watched one of the Bonds or something. Sunday, I saw Street Gang, this like Sesame Street documentary.
Good shit.
Extremely good. Not a dry eye in the cinema. Damn. Just like such a good documentary. Monday, I saw No Time to Die, hence the Bond rewatches. Tuesday, I saw Eternals. what else was there? Last night, I saw Dune. I think. Yeah, there's other ones too. But I've watched... Oh, and then Speed Racer as well.
Speed Racer. We're going to talk about this week.
But then I've got a few more coming up this weekend, including French Dispatch and stuff.
What felt longer? The 11 movies that weren't Eternals or watching Eternals?
Eternals, literally. It was... I'm not being mean. It was just like one of...
We will be at some point. Very soon, I'm sure.
It reached like the 2-hour part and they're just hanging in the forest. And I was just like, how has this been 2 hours and they're still fucking recruiting people? Like, Zack Snyder's Justice League felt like so much like trimmer.
That's still the longest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's longest, but it felt like...
in the same wheelhouse.
Yeah, it
sure.
felt like just more trim.
Yep.
I just couldn't believe...
Okay.
Yeah, and even that movie, we knew who the characters were because they'd been introduced in other films.
Yeah.
This was a lot. I have so many, I can't wait to just do a... You know, you and I, we really like the MCU. Like, we think it's... I mean, I think it's a thing. I don't think I could ever be super passionate about it.
It's a constant. It's a constant that I like having around.
I loved Phase 3, and like, I really was like, cool, I'm glad I watched all those movies. I feel like, as a fan, now I'm getting some payoff.
And it's a ritual that my wife and I go and see all the Marvel movies together. And it's my entire family rolls their eyes every time they babysit my kids, and they're, oh, what are you going to go do tonight? And I'm like, oh, going to go see the new Marvel movie, because there's been like, you know, two in the last month.
But it's been, you know, it's like, it felt like, all the people, you know, you felt like, oh man, I've watched all these movies, Endgame's like for me and also the rest of the world because it was like the most watched movie or whatever.
But
it's now reached this interesting point. You know, there's so many things at play. There's COVID, there's Disney Plus, and Phase 4 is just like
real
so
weird.
Fucking crazy. And I don't mean in like a cool way. It's just, it is so
like
tonally,
a Speed Race away.
Not in Speed Race away at all. More of a Matrix Revolutions way. You know what? Like, Phase 4 reminds me of Matrix Revolutions.
Fuck, that isn't a pretty apt comparison.
Yeah, I just get the same feeling.
Like, they sucking the fun out of the first Matrix movie.
Yeah.
And turning it into this very bloated,
that it's not.
Over-explained, boring,
confusing
thing.
Like,
hollow.
You need a kind of like... Like, at least a TAFE take on, like, philosophy or something to get what's going on.
Yeah, well,
but with this, it's mathematics because of all the multiverse stuff.
While you were watching all the movies, I've gone absolutely sicko mode on Demon Slayer.
Oh, you reread it, didn't you?
I reread all 205.1 chapters.
Easy to reread, though? Just, like,
just such a glorious reread. The problem was, when I first read it, the first 70 chapters were on Shonen Jump app, so officially translated. Then I had to read a fanlation.
Right.
Fan translation.
Were they as good as other fan translations where, like, they swear and stuff?
They swear constantly in it. Like, you know, like, Inosuke will like, you know, cause Tanjiro a fucking cunt.
Which never
like,
happens.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're like, you know, get out of my way, you fuckhead. It's like, that's not
it's so jarring. I love that. That's so bad.
So I read like maybe 100 chapters, or, you know, like 80 chapters fan translated.
Yeah.
And when they introduce all the Hashira, they're like, you know, like, Rengoku-san, like the, you know, the Guy Fieri, from the Mugen Train, and all of his, you know, the same people on
Diners,
his level.
Diners, drive-ins, and Mugen Trains.
It didn't really sink in with me. And then when I went back to reading it week to week, once I caught up, like I was reading it as it came out every week for maybe over a year, in the lead up for it ending, and a lot of things didn't really like.
Is it all on the Shonen app now?
Yeah, and I burned through it all in 2 days.
Yeah,
and it was so fucking fun.
Yeah, that's sick.
So I've also watched the 4 episodes of the Mugen Train arc, the anime version. Highly recommend, even if you've already watched the movie, just watch the first episode.
Just more stuff.
It's just all Rengoku stuff.
Just
context. Rengoku is so good, especially his voice acting.
His voice is so good. It's so jolly.
And then I've finished the story missions.
Oh, wow.
All the story missions in...
Where does it end, season one?
The video game that came out, Kimetsu no Yaiba... Demon Slayer, the Hirokami Chronicles or something. So yeah, it ends at the end of Mugen Train, but then there's this like, awesome bonus mission where the spirit of Rengoku challenges you to a fight because it's like an arena fighter.
Right, right.
But they have all these like story missions around it. If you like the anime or the manga, like, man, go in. The video game it's very much like a very polished like arena fighter that's like slightly no frills, but like all of the... They haven't spared any costs when it comes to voice acting, when it comes to like I did the mission where you're on the mountain fighting the spider,
spider
demons. And that's like episode 19 of the anime. I think it's like the best episode. It has an amazing song where
that's such a good
Tanjiro like finally is able to like do a fire move as opposed to a water move.
That's such a good episode. Yeah, and they're like vampire-ish and they've been alive for a long time.
And there's this brilliant song that plays, and the only thing that could possibly make that scene better is quick time events.
Oh yeah, so and if you hit triangle and dude, circle.
I know it sounds ridiculous. It was so fucking awesome.
It's so good. It's so lame.
Yeah, really, really sick game. Only low point was there's like a lull where there's two chapters in the video game where it's like them doing training and you have to do a bunch of like button mashing mini games. You know when he has to like break the gourds? Like he has to blow into those big ceramic like vases. Oh, yeah,
that's when he's training, isn't it?
To train, yeah. And you have to like do this shit. It's like so lame.
That's dog shit.
Yeah. That's the only, that was the only low point of the game. Everything else rules. As a fighting game, it's so fun. And Inosuke is so much fun to play as. He's so fast. And I just like love hearing his voice. I have to just yell shit in Japanese. It's the best.
Yeah. Do you start yelling shit?
Yeah, yeah. I start yelling things that I read in the fanlation manga.
Yeah. Inosuke, you fucking cunt.
But yeah, Demon Slayer. It's a great... As a series to read. And like I'm super excited for the anime season 2 to actually properly start. Because that upcoming arc, the Entertainment District arc, is such a good one.
Tight.
For everyone to be back on. So
get back in.
Yeah, I'm like, I came very close to at Universal Studios in Japan. They did a popcorn bucket, which was Nezuko, Tanjiro's sister, who is like, she's a demon girl who is inside a wooden, who keeps on his back in a wooden box, and they made a popcorn bucket out of her.
It's so good.
It's like her box.
Universal Studios has a great Evangelion one too, where it comes out of Unit 1's mouth and it lights up. Oh man, holy shit. That?
Okay, I'll look for both because I came very close to paying $250 for one, and I'm like, no, show a little restraint.
How much was it?
$250.
Yeah, that's about how much.
Yeah,
Unit 1. It's at Universal. It's tight.
Oh my god! Look up your
that's a shit
Unit One Evangelion popcorn.
Oh, there
bucket.
We go. There's a better one. There's a YouTube unboxing video.
Oh god! And thank goodness it's 10 minutes long.
Because I can't. Oh my god! It's showing you. There you go. It's like insane. The eyes light up.
Eyes. That's awesome.
That's pretty insane, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Man,
oh man,
that's it. When we finally go to Japan, like I've promised the kids so many popcorn buckets. We're gonna need a suitcase just for.
Oh yeah, they're
buckets.
Gonna be like diabetic or something.
I just spent $500 on a rice maker from Japan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got the Zojirushi one. The brand is called Zojirushi.
Yeah.
So, yeah, someone on eBay sold me the one with the right voltage for Australia. So
that's insane.
So, I'm going to be cooking a hell of a lot of sushi and congee.
Yeah, you are...
that's my OLED.
That's your OLED Switch.
I don't need a new Switch, but I do need a new rice cooker.
Yeah. See, I need a new Switch.
It's an OLED rice cooker.
Now I'm playing all the time.
That's sick. Yeah. What have you been playing?
Hollow Knight.
Mad.
But it's been hard because I'm watching a lot of movies.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And you can't do both.
Except I wish I brought it along to the cinema this week when I saw Eternals, which is the most expensive movie I've seen. Not as in to make, but as in how much I paid to watch it.
How much did you pay to watch it?
I was like 24 or something. It was a time that was good. Trains were down, so it rendered a lot of...
Yep.
Cinemas near me, like, not doable. Then it was, like, me figuring out which has parking, which one has not got parking. So I ended up having to go to, like, a mall and watch it there. But, yeah, that was on Monday, I think, or Tuesday.
Yeah, right.
I can't even remember. But I saw you Saturday after fresh from seeing it. And then you got really sick. So I'm starting to wonder, were you sick because of Eternals?
Yeah, I think Kingo shot me in my throat and gave me throat cancer.
Yeah. But, yeah, you and your wife just saw it. And then... Noon was also at this event, and you guys...
Yeah,
I
was
jealous.
Friend Jen's birthday.
I was jealous that I couldn't partake in it. It's like, I felt... It's the longest I haven't seen, like, a Marvel movie from coming out. And it's not because, like, I wanted to actively dislike this. It's just, I was never excited from this being announced. From the fucking font choice when they showed the poster, I was just like, I have no point of reference. That's not necessarily, like, a bad thing. Like, I don't like movies I know what they are.
It's just a weird... Like, it was a very weird... choice of characters to make a bunch of movies on. I know that they always wanted to expand the cosmic stuff. That said, why do they make this on Earth then? But whatever.
They didn't just make it on Earth. They just made it on beaches.
They fucked up Inhumans so bad. That could have been a really fun movie.
I saw a funny tweet earlier where someone mentioned Eternals and they just posted the cast photo of Inhumans and they look dog shit. They look like Arrowverse Eternals.
But I've read shitloads of Marvel comics, and you know, I'm one of the few people that actually recognized who some of the, like, I felt really ashamed in the moment when the end credit scenes happened, and I knew who the characters
were. Were you like
were.
That guy nutting during Pompo?
I was just like, oh, yeah. No, I was kind of like disappointed. Like, that's this person. That's this person. Like,
you're like, why do I know this?
Yeah,
I don't. I don't know. Like my mother-in-law's birthday.
But I've read I read the Neil Gaiman, John Romita Jr. Eternals run, and like I couldn't tell you a single thing from it. Like, they are very unremarkable characters to me, on and off the screen.
Mm.
Some of them more so than others.
Well, this movie, like, you know, we've spoken about it a bunch, but. You know, it had been out for almost a week when I saw it, and I was like, you know, Noon loves it, you didn't like it. I was like, man, this is like, for once, it's like at least a divisive Marvel movie, which is something we haven't really had since like the first Avengers.
Well, you and I disagreed pretty passionately on Shang-Chi.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean, this era has been interesting. Oh, like, sure, I mean, yeah. Like from basically Avengers onwards, pretty hard-pressed to find like a divisive Marvel movie. There's ones that are like, most people don't like a Thor the Dark World, or the person who likes that the most, as we know, is Kevin Feige, who keeps bringing that back.
Yep.
But it's pretty hard to find like someone that's like a movie that's like caused debate, like a Last Jedi. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, totally.
They kind of like,
it's like, oh, that was fine, I guess. That's like the worst.
Yeah. And that's
criticism.
Kind of what Marvel is. You know, that was exactly. Fine. Cool. It was like a transaction. I gave money. It was like sex work. You
they
know,
they continued.
I paid for something and I knew some things, and things I'd read or seen, like, you know, illustrations of in comics came to life for a bit, and cool, that's fine. And oh, there's that dude with the eye patch who knows them all or something like that.
Sure,
and it's fine. But yeah, the last few, this whole phase, I mean, it's fucking weird, man. What have we got?
Okay, do we do all the TV stuff?
Let's go in order of what we've received.
WandaVision at the tight side of the year.
So that's phase four's first one, isn't it? So that's the first thing after Far From Home.
And it's weird that like Eternals tries to set up so much for the future, but it's weird we haven't really seen anything set up in the TV shows. Obviously, because the movies want to come out first.
Well, let's
right?
do the order of what we've seen, and then maybe we can have a look at like the actual phase's intentional rollout, which they missed completely.
WandaVision was like a really promising start.
I reckon like the first six episodes were brilliant, like up until the 90s bit, and then when it became...
It was just fine by the end, but...
Yeah, it was fine.
I was more disappointed that it was fine because...
You know what? I reckon if we watched it in a big go again soon, I reckon I think I would like it more.
Sure.
Because I know what to expect. Because my imagination was running wild, which is something that never happens with MCU because it's firmly... They're so safe, but because it started off so crazy, I think I remember saying to you how cool would like the last episode be if it riffed on Marvel as like the big inspiration of the noughties. Sorry, the like... 2010s or whatever, like as its filmic language and how it did like 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Then it just stopped and it just it's weird. The last few episodes didn't really play with the convention of like cinema or TV language.
Yeah.
And it became your classic final Marvel act.
Yeah, totally.
But it didn't do it clever. It didn't play on that. It just presented it as such.
Yeah, it would have been interesting if they tried to do like a meta Marvel.
Well, that's what I was hoping for. Yeah, I remember that's what I wanted them to do. Like, oh, and here's the big light in the sky where, you know, the building lights on fire and it's a beam from space. And that would have been really funny. But they didn't do that because I think, you know, Kevin probably says no, don't make fun. What was next? Is that Falcon Winter Soldier was next?
That's right, yeah.
And I think that was fine. I think that's the closest thing we've had to like a Winter Soldier. You know, I really liked the, like, Black Soldier, Super Soldier storyline. I thought there was a lot of great stuff there.
Yeah, I was harsh on it at the time. I think some of the writing, especially in those later episodes, was pretty bad. But it was pretty well directed the entire way through.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, consistent. But then also while watching it, a lot of it was like, this could have been a great two-hour movie.
Absolutely. For me, it was, and all of the writing was bad because it just felt bloated. I thought all the stuff with Sharon was pointless.
Yeah.
And I think they, like, you know, what's his name? He was so good when...
Baron Zemo was amazing.
Yeah, but then he just kind of disappears for the end of it and doesn't get way into it.
And I think
all,
that's just to keep him around.
Yeah, but
hopefully.
Like, the episode where it's like him, the Dora Milaje showing
amazing.
Up. That was like, when that, they that's like as good as MCU gets for me.
Where do they go again? The classic...
McDonald's.
Yeah, then when they go to McDonald's, that McDonald's country, the naughty country. But yeah, I thought that was like, a lot of that was like some of the best MCU I'd seen in a while. Something that I hadn't seen in a while too, which was like, you know, some street level stuff.
Yeah, and like, it was still for both one like WandaVision and Falcon Winter Soldier. It was great character work for yeah. like all
made
four
Sam
of those main
such a good character. Who before yeah. then I was kind of like, eh, he's okay.
Bucky too, like
yeah, Bucky and Sam just like really, really well developed. Then did we have Black Widow or no? Was it Loki next?
I think it was. I can't remember. I think it was Black Widow first.
Black Widow, and that was like I felt nothing with that. I thought it was like Taskmaster was hopeless.
Just sad. Like I felt. I mean, B especially was like she cried after that movie finished because she was like, oh, so the character is actually dead. She was like, there's no way that it's going to have a movie about Black Widow.
No, they will.
And then she'll be dead at the end of it. And like, she just felt so betrayed.
Parts
by
I liked, like, you know, I kind of liked seeing her extended family, her fake family. I thought that was done well. Some of the family
Yeah, especially
stuff.
If they show up again.
Yeah, I liked that a
and
lot.
And other little Black Widows.
That was, like, they had great, but I just found the third act just so fucking woeful with the like invasion on the ship. And then like, the really ham-fisted Me Too commentary when, like, we know how poor Scarlett Johansson was.
I mean,
kind of
a big part of the fatigue for me is when you're like, oh, the threat of this is too big again. It's like the entire world will be destroyed if this one hero doesn't do
this. Yeah, what was the point of this one again? What was it? What was
like,
the threat?
Know, it was uncovering. It was a bunch of the Black Widows. There was the Taskmaster.
Oh, there was a mist that was going to activate Black Widows and make them bad?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And they're all around the world.
I mean, funnily enough, I think that was probably the smallest threat faced in any of the big movies this year. And maybe even the... Like, yeah, WandaVision was cool because it was a pretty small-seeming threat.
What was what I liked with Falcon Winter Soldier set, the terrorist group were, like, reactionary to Thanos. And it was good. They were like, resources are fucked.
Well, he was good, you know, like that he should have been. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, I kind of liked that because it used like the law and established and kept it ground level. Like it was like a political movement. They were like, you know, resources are fucked now, and we're doing like we're taking in too many people in refugees stuff. Like I thought that was kind of done really interesting.
Yeah, totally.
But and I guess when you like also like marry that with the like Black Super Soldier plotline, it was kind of like about like the life of like what's the value of a life if it's, you know what I mean? I remember there was a whole conversation about like. The more I think about it, the more I really liked it too. Like when they're like, oh, do you want to take the super serum? Like, do you? And it's like, no, I don't want to. And I thought that was like a really interesting discussion.
Zemo was so sick. Like, you know, when he destroys the serum. And
oh,
like,
totally.
Yeah, so
and US Agent was great. Yeah, like, yeah. I think, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, that's kind of, I love that era. It's such a good vibe.
Yeah. But like, you know, with Endgame, it was like, it doesn't really get bigger in scope of threat.
No, they fucking travel in time and then like,
but like, you know, but, and it's like, you know, you're saving space slugs half the population of the universe.
Yeah.
And I feel like,
and also we knew Black Widow's dead. Like,
yeah, but Far From Home, I think went a little bit too big. It was too global, the threat. Like it as good as that, like, you know, final showdown between, you know, Spidey and all the drones is.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they went a little bit... Oh, maybe it was...
It was pretty grounded. Yeah. It was just in London.
Yeah, you're right. And it was mostly him that was threatened as opposed to...
Yeah,
because he just wanted to, uncover, you know, show everyone who the real...
Mysterio was.
Yeah,
that
and get Tony's glasses back.
Yeah, it was only like... there wasn't like a global threat. It was just like... Yeah, there could have been a global threat.
And they did a good job of making that feel personal because at one point he has to go and save all his mates.
Yeah.
And Abby and,
yeah, totally.
That movie is actually better than I
totally. I think
for,
it
I
is.
Think.
Yeah.
Black Widow, it should have been way smaller and personal.
And it should have come straight after Civil War.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like 100%.
But I mean, you know, there was Ike Perlmutter apparently, you know, stomping his foot. Wailing.
Yeah.
That
Black Widow, I remember being like, oh, cool, big new Marvel movie. We haven't had one of those since Far From Home. This is going to be crazy. Watched it and felt like, oh, okay, that was it. It wasn't like a smaller, grittier movie. It wasn't even like Winter Soldier-esque, like espionage and stuff. It was just the parts
there were
I really liked.
That were,
yeah, there were a lot of parts I did like. Like, you know, I keep going back to like the farmhouse family dinner scene. But then a lot of it was just like, you know, breaking people out of prison and I don't know, it just felt very generic and set pieces. Like, I can't even really remember the movie now.
I remember,
that's
like,
its biggest,
I loved,
like,
what's her name?
Rachel Weisz?
Yeah. No.
Rachel Weisz?
No.
Yeah.
You know, the other one.
Yeah.
Hereditary.
Midsommar,
whatever. Yeah. What's her name?
Just, Yelena.
Yeah, Yelena.
In the movie.
Yeah.
Yolanda,
really not,
be cool.
Can we really not remember her name?
Florence Pugh.
Very good.
Yeah. She was
true
good.
True cinephile over here.
Yeah. She was great.
Me, I've only seen two movies in the last week.
Yeah.
You can't possibly expect
no,
to remember
I'm in double
an actor's
digits.
Name.
She was good. Yeah. parts of that movie were great, but then I wanted it to be more introspective and like about Black Widow's trauma and being,
and about Hawkeye and her relationship.
Absolutely, nothing
like
from
he should have been in that movie.
Yeah,
that's like that's another thing. Like, I feel like since
I love
Endgame,
seeing her like go off the grid and have to call someone and be like, "I need a house." Like that stuff was totally really interesting. But then it just like succumbed to, you know,
just
flying,
like
a flying castle in the sky.
Yeah,
and that stuff. Like the little moments of her having to see her like live while off the grid post Civil War, really interesting.
But yeah, we already like a lot of we that. Like all these characters that already exist. Give us more of them, and have like, if you want to introduce a new character, have them interacting with the characters that we already love.
Yeah,
it's a way nicer feeling than like, oh god, there's 10 new fucking heroes.
Well, then it just reminds you, yeah, like, that they're like movies who are made around schedules of people, you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, totally. But I mean, like, make them smaller scale. Like, I think
totally
the character is why people love the characters. That's why totally people love these movies.
And she has such a mystery.
No one ever
her
talks about like, like, maybe someone will be like, oh, I love the action in Winter Soldier. But, like, I don't know. No one really talks about, like, any of the big set pieces in Guardians of the Galaxy. It's just, like,
because the characters.
It's the vibe. The
people
characters
love Drax. People love Groot.
People
love,
like, you're like,
Rocket.
Oh, my God, I actually cried at the end when, you know, at Yondu's funeral.
Yeah, Kevin Smith's like, it's so weird. I cried in a comic book movie. Oh, man, I accidentally filmed myself, too. So then we have Black Widow, and I was like, damn, that sucked. I didn't really like it. It took me, I had to watch it twice because, like, it put me to sleep. Yeah. Literally, which is really bad.
It was very by the numbers kind of feeling.
Very by the numbers.
And I think you can say that about all of the movies they've put out so far this
well, what,
year.
Well, then What If came out?
No, Loki.
Oh, Loki. Loki I really liked.
Yeah, Loki,
Loki to me
was
is
solid.
A very great script. Such a good concept. Its only flaws is that it's part of the MCU, and I like the MCU, but it had to adhere to certain things.
Yeah.
But overall, loved it. Cast was amazing. Everyone killed it.
And like, also so many great questions arise at the end of that that don't necessarily set up future series, but
no,
like they will be answered in them,
or like at least it will be answered within Loki.
Yeah,
which we know is season two, which is the thing I'm most excited for besides
Spider-Man.
But then What If, which
whatever
and then that leads us to Shang-Chi, which was only like a month ago, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's actually, it's going to be, as of tomorrow, it'll be on Disney Plus.
To rent or
just to watch?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's tomorrow Disney Plus day. So there's going to be like,
I don't know.
Next week's episode is going to be so many big Disney.
Yeah.
It's like Easter.
Disney, yeah, it is years like Easter. It just changes every year. So it's just available for everyone to watch tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, I
think Jungle Cruise
pay
is too.
Oh, right.
I'll watch that.
Fuck off, I will. Yeah, of course.
This guy loves movies.
I love cinema. Maybe I'll double back my I'll never watch Shang-Chi again, and if it's free I might watch it in the next like few months or something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so you didn't like Shang-Chi
for the same reason Black Widow, except it didn't have the bonus. It didn't have the bit where I liked this character and wanted to learn more about them. It was another, as we've said countless times on this pod, it just felt like okay, go back to square one, let's start introducing characters again.
Which, yeah, I don't know.
Once we've saved half the population, I just find that very difficult for me. Like, I'm still mourning, in air quotes, you know, Tony Stark and Cap and stuff like that. Like, it's very hard for me to meet a new quippy hero who happened to be around during that
but
time.
But he wasn't very quippy, Shang-Chi. He was like, he's pretty straight.
He's the second, well, everyone's pretty straight next to Awkwafina.
Yeah, it's very true. But like, you know, I liked, you know, I liked the choice of recognizable faces. Like, I liked the callback to Iron Man 3 with,
yes,
Trevor Slattery.
Trevor was my favorite thing about
him. I loved just that Wong. Like, he's such an odd character to have return so frequently, but I love it. Like, I think he's
great in Infinity War.
He gets better in each, like you know, fun little
he's
appearance
so good
too.
In
like,
Infinity War, in that very brief moment he's in.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I just was like, oh, okay. I don't know. It's something about that movie.
I reckon if you rewatch that, having just seen Eternals, you'll probably be like,
I just don't want to.
Yeah, no, fair. I mean, also, there's a million better
so
movies to watch.
It's so boring to me. Yeah. I found it so boring. It just was.
For me, it just, like, it was,
the
was
superheroes. Was nice. It was nice to see the actor
superheroes by the numbers, but I enjoyed it with, like, you know, different, you know, wallpaper in terms of locations they filmed at, and like, you know, it being a bit more of like a Hong Kong action flick was really,
like, look,
enjoyable
the,
to me.
Some of the fights were good, and it was nice to see the actors performing them, you know, as opposed to like covered by a mask and stuff. Like, you know, that bus fight in particular, you could tell Simo Liu was doing a lot of
buzzing.
It. Yeah, it was great. That was cool. But then just the whole like
third act thing,
just became like the same fucking thing. Like, it could have been
all these movies do.
Well, they don't though sometimes. I don't know. I just, it's getting to a point now where...
You don't want that third act to be...
Well, now I just felt like... I actually felt like I was in a multiverse when I saw Eternals, because we're getting all these post-credit stings and stuff. And I was like, who the fuck are these people? Am I supposed to know them from previous movies? Have I wandered into another dimension?
All right. I think we've talked about...
It has been maligned. Like,
and look, and so many of those things we just talked about were affected by COVID, and we totally acknowledge
that.
Well,
we know that WandaVision's ending lost an episode or two.
Yep.
We know that Loki lost an episode.
I'm not sure about that, but I know that Falcon the Winter Soldier... Like,
had to completely rewrite because it was about a virus.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is funny because that's what the new Bond movie's about. It's about a virus where people can kill other people by having a virus. And I'm like, damn, they didn't get the Falcon Winter Soldier memo. Yeah, we understand a lot. Actually, before we go to Eternals, what was that original order? You said it started with...
I think it was meant to be...
Eternals first or Shang-Chi?
Oh, fuck, I don't even know, man. Who cares?
I'm kind of curious because then in a way it's like we can almost map out maybe what we thought when we were going to learn about like multiverses. You know what I mean? Like,
okay. Well, Angus is going to look for this, but let's hear a word from our sponsors while he looks.
Oh, mad.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here we go. The original Phase 4 was supposed to be... I found something that said the original Marvel Phase 4. It changed. Collider.com have it, which is nice.
Thanks, Collider.com.
So the original one was Black Widow. It was supposed to come out last May. Cinemas.
Yep. Okay, there you go.
Which I would have been... I guess maybe another reason why Black Widow felt reductive is because, you know, after Far From Home, we don't really know the next threat or phase overall plot. But when Black Widow came out, we'd had like two series about multiverses or something.
Yeah, and
we kind of like moving on to like the next thing. And then it was like, it would be like getting a movie set like before Dark World or something. You know what I mean? Like in Phase 3 or something. You're like, oh, okay. Why am I getting... Like it seemed so far removed. Like we'd seen her lead the Avengers in Endgame by this point. Like it just seemed like there's so many other interesting parts of her life.
I know.
Life.
It's such a bummer we didn't get that. And I loved her hairstyle in that part.
She looked
too.
Great.
That's a movie I wanted to...
Well, then get this. It was supposed to be Black Widow May 2020. Eternals November 6, 2020.
Right.
So it came out a year later.
And when was Shang-Chi meant to come out?
Well, next was... Sorry. So it went Black Widow May, Falcon Winter Soldier August. So immediately after Black Widow, Falcon Winter Soldier came out. And that would have been great because you had Julia Louis-Dreyfus in both. And that would have been awesome. Like that there's a nice link
there. As the famous MCU character.
Elaine. Yeah. Then we had Eternals.
Yep.
Then WandaVision, early 2021, no exact date. But right. At the same time, safe to say, Shang-Chi and Legend of the Twelve Rings, Feb 2021.
Right, okay.
Then Doctor Strange was supposed to be May this year.
Yep.
Then Loki after Doctor Strange. No, concurrently to Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Which awesome Multiverse of Madness that like really...
Yeah, for sure.
It just seems now it's so fractured. Then Spider-Man No Way Home was supposed to be July this year.
Okay.
And then Thor was supposed to be last week.
Fuck.
Yeah.
It's kind so of, it's I'm, really I'm almost different. Like slightly relieved that it didn't like...
I'm relieved, but that order does sound a lot more attractive to me. The introduction of multiverses at the same point as opposed to like... You can tell that it is out of order. I wonder if someone will machete watch them and do like...
Yeah, sure. Elijah know, Wood. Will, is that who... Is
that, Topher Grace, Venom.
Topher Grace. Yeah.
Like, I wonder if someone will be like, I will watch it as Black Widow, Eternal, blah, blah, whatever that order is. And see if it... I'd love if someone did that. Like, a listener probably will. And just see if it does land different.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, then, you know, it brings us to Eternals.
Oh boy. So yeah. You never watched, what's Chloe Zhao's movie that she won the Oscar for?
Nomadland.
I watched that earlier this year.
You said it was great, right?
It's an awesome movie.
Yeah.
It is, I could not see a single thing that reminded me of Nomadland in Eternals.
Well, and the only thing that reminded me from trailers is like, the only problem is there's 9 other people in the shot, but it's like a person standing in a field, like nice landscape.
Yeah, or the fact that there's like a desert in some of these scenes. Yeah. Yeah, I guess you could say
like, is beautiful landscape stuff. Like, yeah, but other than that, you saw nothing similar.
I didn't think the cinematography was particularly good. I mean,
no, I didn't either. Because it didn't look like an MCU movie. It didn't look like an MCU movie.
I mean, it was still the same, like, washed out
but
color
then in,
palette,
like,
though,
London like... and stuff, I was just like, what fucking movie is this?
And, like, some of the CGI in this...
Man, it was some of the worst I've seen.
Like, the any moment, like, when their triangle spaceship takes off, it just kind of, like,
so
gets
funny.
Small. It looks like in A New Hope.
Yeah, it looks like the non-special edition New Hopes. Also, like, the Deviant when it was, like, a human.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was like, what? Yeah, I don't know, man. It was shocking.
That whole character.
The whole... this could have been 2 movies. But then I'm like... No one would want to see part 2 if we just got the first half of this.
Well, I mean, I feel like this is going to be one of those movies that gains a cult, a genuine cult.
Do you think
fan
so?
Base. Like the first time that the MCU has its equivalent of Snyder fans, but definitely not on the same level.
It's funny because it's like, I love like this is like the peace and love version of a Snyder cut. I.e., like Snyder cut fans has fan like you know toxic fans defending like Batman's right to kill people and like all the you know libertarian like like the Randian like notes, but then it's like I love the idea of a cult existing because like it has like a diverse cast. It's like it's so funny to be like just toxic people being like, yeah, but one of them's fucking deaf, bro.
Yeah,
all right, that's fine. I know she's not deaf in the comics, but fuck, he at least he earned the right to kill those people. And it's like I'd love if they get like start commenting on every Disney post, just like release Eternals 2, just like.
Well, they have to. I feel like they there's no way they're going to like. It's insane how here's what
Eternals
2
has going for
movie.
It. There's like 6 of them are dead. That's like,
what? How many?
Like heaps of Eternals died. I think
3.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, 3.
Not enough died. You're right. Yeah, yeah. Now I'm rejigging. But yeah, I just went. I really wanted to enjoy it, and then it just is. It's close to 3 hours long. The majority of the movie, for what I remember, is just like. A lot of people standing around explaining what each argument is about.
And it's like first take script work as well. Like, especially poor Sprite, who is like the actor with the least amount of acting experience.
They should have just got Sprite to be Pip the Troll. They look the same.
But she has to say so much exposition. It's crazy.
Not just her, everyone. And
but
like,
especially her. It's like in the first half of the movie, she has to like explain so much. And some of the lines is like, couldn't you have done a slightly better job?
No one talks making, like this. Yeah, and you guys should be better humans than anyone. Because you've been here for 7,000 years.
Poor kid. I feel bad for that kid.
I don't. I feel hilarious because they had the best scene in the movie when she gets like punched in the back of the head. She gets coward punched by a druid.
With a rock.
It's so good. But yeah, I don't know, man. I remember seeing the trailer and being like, okay, this... I'm not excited, but look, I will give it. There's these like big, beautiful shots... Like that are kind of like in space of these giant things we've never seen. The only problem was I wanted like, I guess when I saw those shots in a trailer out of context of the movie, I was expecting these kind of like grand operatic like moments where there's no dialogue and we're just seeing like kind of 2001-ish or as I ended up seeing last night, Dune, just like where it lets imagery speak for itself. But every time we saw like space shit, there was like a fucking like narrator explaining what everything was. There was so much. I got confused.
I can say this has to be easily the worst beginning to an MCU movie and the worst ending to an MCU movie, because the beginning is...
It's just text on screen.
An opening scroll, and it is like, what does so it mean? Trite.
I didn't understand any of it. It's just...
The first three words are literally in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Like, ugh.
Yeah.
For this...
And then it has like an opening scene.
The opening scene, and the action is so bizarre.
What is the opening? I can't even remember how the movie opens.
A kid loses his dad and shows no emotion whatsoever. A big fish monster deviant.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Leaps out of the ocean and just
And then they give it a knife.
Yeah, then they give the kid a knife. The kid's like, I don't know. It's like this the most emotionless scene.
Yeah.
And all the Eternals.
Oh, and then it fades to a poster, and it's like that knife that they gave them is now on display at the British National Museum. I'm just like, what we can do in a moment, let's try and like list everybody, every Eternals character, and like what their character was like.
Okay, let's start with Cersei.
She likes her phone.
I know. Yes, she likes her phone. She dates. She's managed to find someone as boring as she is in Kit Harington's Dane. Is that his name?
Dane. Yeah.
And like moments before I realized, oh no, this guy's going to be the Black Knight. B goes, this guy's the worst character in the movie. I hope we never see him again.
Dun, dun, dun. He was so... I hated his character. Just like, at the start, he's like, oh, I love you, but I know you won't live with me. And he's like, oh, you're a wizard. Like, I thought he was just joking or being cute. But then, like, they're, like, walking home or whatever, and they get attacked by this fucking, like, monster. And then he's like, oh, cool. Okay. And she, like... I know they're just comic book movies, but his reaction to her being like, I'm actually 7,000 years old, don't worry about it, was extremely chill.
Well, I mean, that's the movie opens with a kid who's watching his dad get eaten by a fish monster.
I guess because these people are so boring, it's like, not fantastic. Huh.
Like this, yeah, it's so odd. It's, yeah, this is a very, that's what I was expecting. Like, I was expecting from this movie to be like very personal, well-written conversations between entities.
Hey, Black Widow.
And I was like, oh, maybe people don't like this because it's maybe too philosophical for a Marvel movie. And I was kind of excited, like, oh, is this going to be like a really crazy cosmic but grounded, you know, philosophical kind of movie?
Nope.
But, because I'm very curious as to what that would be like. But it feels like someone trying to make a superhero movie and the studio being like, yeah, but maybe just try and add some of this. And putting it into the filmmaker's head that like it was their idea to just
make
a regular superhero movie anyway. It's just a bit longer and slightly weirder. I don't know. There's just more characters than usual.
I was just bored. I was so bored the whole time. I felt
It felt like a DC movie to me. It felt like Aquaman.
See, I preferred Aquaman.
Not quite on the level of Snyder. I mean, you were on your phone for half of Aquaman.
Yeah, but like when I looked up, there was like the octopus drumming. Like it had like funny moments like that. Like Aquaman was goofy fun.
The going through time stuff. Like I thought it was slightly clever to begin with, but it's so boring. Overstays its welcome.
Do you know why it overstays its welcome? Because the same fucking thing happens each time. They stand around a like CG battle and are like, "Ooh, don't fight. We're not allowed to fight." And it was just like the worst superhero movies. They're not allowed to fight. Like it's so.
And a very weird choice of like particular battles that they. I mean,
Babylon
culminates with Hiroshima. That is maybe the worst scene in an MCU movie for me.
Yeah,
where Fastos claims responsibility for
a gay black man destroyed millions of Japanese.
Oh yeah, we can have a gay kiss in a Marvel movie,
but he also has to be responsible for one of the greatest atrocities: the splitting of the atom, weaponized. It's insane,
and it's like him in this immaculate suit.
Crying. I was like, you can't be there. I'm like, it's nuclear fallout.
How did he get there? I don't know. He can't fly. Kingo can't even fly.
No one can fly. Icarus.
But too close to the sun. Little too close. Said.
Yeah, yeah. But fuck this, man. Angelina Jolie was just like loaded on painkillers, I think, for the movie.
No, it's what's it called? Botox. At one point she has to cry and she just looks like she's like smiling.
It was insane, man.
Yeah.
I was just so bored. I wanted weird.
There were some okay ideas in it, but like I think the writing again.
Oh, the ideas were interesting. Like you can do this story really interestingly, I think. I just think that I don't know. Like, I'm so curious about its inception where they, like, we want to do a non-MCU MCU movie. But it ends up being so indicative of what MCU movies are.
And also, like, it's so funny to me. And it always happens. They'll be like, oh, we got this really amazing diverse cast. And the first two characters that die are the actors of color.
Yeah.
Like, I know eventually Icarus, like, you know, yeets himself into the sun.
Yeah, but we got Salma Hayek.
Salma Hayek, and then Gilgamesh, who I actually quite liked Gilgamesh. I thought he was a really fun character.
He was fine. I didn't, like,
like him at all. Like, yeah, anyone. Right. All he did was...
Are there any Eternals that you do like?
No, I found them all, like...
So they're all... But, like, which is the least bad to you?
Kingo. Because he had a plane.
Did you like Kingo's valet?
Valet? He was the best character.
Yeah.
But everyone was dog shit boring. Like, easily... It is my least favorite MCU movie.
It was so hollow and self-important.
At least Hulk was like the second movie they made, and it was half-made.
This is paradise. Definitely like they're good to compare because I think that's the last time a Marvel film took it this seriously.
Well, the best thing about Hulk, it's over in 90 minutes.
Yeah.
The biggest crime with this, one of the biggest
two
crimes,
hours and 37 minutes.
Is it's so long. And at least with Hulk, if I had to like have a gun to my head to watch one, I'm like, oh, the quick one.
Yeah, because we were watching it together, and B was like, I was like, oh, I'm like,
dude, when they were in the
I started
forest,
snickering, at
still
the beginning,
like
yeah.
finding the like still finding Eternals to join their team. I was like, this has already been 2 hours, and they're still getting the band together, a band that we don't even like or know yet. Like, maybe that for like your fourth Avengers movie, you're gonna have a big like 2 hour like, oh, let's get the gang back together. But I didn't give a shit about any of these people. Because they're also dog shit boring.
Okay, so Cersei, boring, likes her phone, likes someone who's boring.
Does she work in a museum?
She teaches.
Yeah. And like,
and she has powers that she could be like a Kitty Pride style type character.
Yeah, but isn't. She just turns everything to water or flowers.
Or birds.
Or birds. And fucks him in a field.
Oh, man. How funny is it like there's like... I don't know why everyone decided to run with the story.
That it took 20 minutes.
It only
minutes
took
to...
Chloe Zhao 25 minutes to film the sex scene.
Cool. What? Like, also, there's like a whole crew there. It's not just them.
I don't understand. Like, why is that a cool, interesting
I
thing?
I can Feige is leaking that one. He wants people to know this is, you know, this is his Ben Affleck's Batman waking up next to a naked woman.
Like, it's way cooler if it comes out that Chloe Zhao spent 3 days filming a sex scene.
Yeah,
like,
or 30
man.
Seconds. It was like, pump a few times. All right, cut.
Yeah.
Let's go get pissed. That's way cooler. Or like, if it was like, she spent 10 minutes on a fingering scene. That's cool.
It's also like the most fingering. Vanilla, like, of course, the first, like, MCU scene is mission, sex scene,
yeah.
which is a boring missionary.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
What does Icarus do besides missionary? He cries. And he looks... man, this isn't
sun.
A bit...
He missionary physicians the sun.
Yeah, he doggy styles the sun. He saves his... he saves the good shit for the sun. This is so true. When he was in his, like, civilian clothes, I reckon 2 or 3 times, I thought it was Bucky. I honestly thought it was like... I was like, oh, shit, how do they keep that under wraps? And then he would talk and be Scottish or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, he looks exactly the same as short-haired Bucky in Falcon Winter Soldier. And he's not mentioning calamari, so I should have known.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you do an Irish accent?
Is it Scottish or Irish?
Oh, fuck. We'll never know.
I don't know. I can't really.
I just do like a vague UK accent. Yeah, like,
what's Bucky say again?
Who ordered the calamari?
Who ordered the calamari? No, I can't. Who ordered the calamari? That's Sean Connery. Who ordered the calamari? Ah, yes. I too order the calamari. Ah, yes, Gilgamesh. Make me one of those.
if it isn't Pip the Troll.
Oh, if it isn't Pip the Troll. No, I can't do it. But yeah, who else is the... Makari. She's a speedster.
I loved her.
Right now, Rushmore?
Put her on.
Another marginalized person to add to your Mount Rushmore.
No, but I thought, like, I mean, it speaks to how bad the writing was, that the person who had the
doesn't
least...
talk.
The person that had the least things to say, I found, like, the most likable.
It was like, you know, Stockholm Syndrome. You were trapped with them for 3 hours, so you've gravitated towards the one that
And also, like,
talk.
You know, I think the one impressive action scene is when they're all fighting Icarus at the end. Also, it's how funny that they all talk about how powerful these entities are. At no point did I think... Any
how powerful
could,
what is?
The Eternals are.
They don't no do point, anything.
But I feel like they all sucked shit so hard at fighting those deviants.
Yeah, they'll dog
and
shit.
Like, that's all you've for and also, they're like thousands of years old. Why are they all so dumb?
Yeah.
Like, at no point was I like, oh, yep, these one of these people has like the wisdom of someone who's been around for thousands
nope.
of years. Like, or like, yeah, I don't know. Like,
Salma Hayek did, she just lived in Dakota.
Which is where Chloe Zhao's from, is right?
Oh, I don't know.
Right. We'll never know.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, Icarus
cries.
Missionary cries, went evil.
It kind of looks, but I don't understand why he went evil.
Oh, Gilgamesh.
Yeah, Gilgamesh.
I see you two have constructed a vessel for alcohol.
You made a I'm beer as blind.
I've had so much to drink that I'm as blind as she is deaf.
Gilgamesh loves Thena as like a sister. Wants to like, you know, protect
has
her.
Has fists. And spits
corn booze.
Yeah.
And does big punches.
It
was weird how he had to like warm his fist up before punching it. So that seems like pretty like difficult to wield.
Thena was like your auntie who gets drunk at Christmas.
Why does Icarus get super strength
and flying and laser visions?
And then Kingo has like tiny little pew-pews that he can spit from his fingers. And then maybe
what
he
does Thena do?
Up.
She just like can make Thena, shields appear
and a sword right. like, out of laser. She was like pretty good power set. I think bizarrely cast by Angelina.
Insane.
Jolie. Like,
she was in it far longer than I thought she would be.
I thought she wasn't in it like much at all.
Oh, I thought that she was like
barely any dialogue as well. Like again, another character that I would put closer to the top of my tier list because she didn't talk much.
Who else?
Fastos, like I thought it was so funny that so Kingo he goes like, I don't want to fight Icarus. It's against my beliefs.
And see ya.
on Saturday night, Noon was like, yeah, it's because of his religion. And I'm like, no.
He doesn't have
nothing
a religion.
To do with his religion.
He's an Eternal. Are the Eternals robots? Because he's like, I built you guys.
I mean, he created in the same way that God creates
humans. I guess he's like, they're like Pinocchio essentially, aren't they? And what, did he wipes their mind every...
Maybe they are like some kind
and
of...
And when they're like... There's other Eternals out there. Do I mean they're just like copies of them everywhere? Or they all look different?
Different Eternals. We'll get to this.
Yeah.
But Kingo decides, I can't fight.
Kingo's a movie star and like he wants to do missionary with Icarus. He worships him. He like is playing him in a movie. He constantly calls him boss and is just like, he wants to
he's a little puppy dog.
Yeah, he wants to fuck Icarus bad.
And Kingo has like had a pretty fun life. Like I liked...
If you're Eternal, he's doing it right.
And
he's like,
we'll actually put effort into his backstory, what he's been doing these last...
Millennia.
At least the last 100 years,
yeah.
If not, you know...
A couple hundred years. Yeah. He's like, great.
Believe that Thena and Gilgamesh have just been content...
In Australia.
In Australia, like, making alcohol from spit.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Which Angelina Jolie's character can't even drink.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah.
So boring.
Like you would go, they should both be insane.
Yeah, should all be insane.
Yeah, they should.
Why is
at least
it just
be
Thena who's insane and no one else?
Because Thena, her body remembers its old memories before it was wiped.
But why? So how often are they wiped?
I guess once every 7,000 years, whenever the celestial is
right.
hatched.
So they've been around heaps longer and have done this heaps of places.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right. And they found like
since eternity.
Yeah,
because they are Eternals.
The beginning.
Yeah. The famous robots.
So Kingo, he's like, Kamael's not, no reason to be jacked. He's never shirtless in this.
No. And also his power set isn't one that
require.
I understand why he wanted to at least look fit.
Yeah.
And then I reckon his publicist got right behind it. Was like,
got
yes.
him in Men's Health magazine.
Exactly. Like I feel like that's not.
And now he's become known as like the ripped guy who, now he's like taken the title of ripped guy who didn't need to get ripped from J.K. Simmons.
Yes, that's right.
The same.
I mean, at least Kingo was in. Well, I mean, he wasn't in the climactic battle.
No, so he wasn't at all. He was Seer. But also like, his jokes and character was so vanilla that he came across as the funniest person in this movie because it was so atrociously written.
Whereas his valet was like, you know, probably the closest thing to genuinely funny.
He was just like Borat's assistant in the first Borat movie. Yeah.
But so Kingo decides, I'm not going to be in the final fight. And then there's a big moment where you're like, oh.
He's got to come now.
Kingo's going to come.
Because they're all connecting and being like related.
Also, Fastos makes, because Kingo's not there, Fastos is like, oh, I know. I'll just make laser shooters on my hands.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's his power besides killing Japanese people?
Yeah, he can just create stuff out of thin air.
Well, he should be the best Eternal.
Yeah, it's bizarre, right? Like,
yeah.
What a frustrating existence they must lead because they can't... They're essentially watchers. Like, we already have this concept of someone that has to be around.
Not interfere.
People, but while not interfering.
But then they always interfere.
It's like the multiverse thing. Like we can't have two things that are so similar. It's yeah. so boring because it's so frustrating to as a plot device.
Yeah, and as we said last week, the multiverse thing, I can't... It's just so cynical to me now. It's like IP flexing. It's like...
Well, this wasn't quite that
no, no, line, I just mean yeah. in general. I mean, this isn't talking about Eternals. I mean, like, just the bigger implications is, as we know, we've got Flashpoint coming... you know, we've got Multiverse of Madness, we've got Kang, we've got Spider-Man and all the leaks and stuff. It's just like, I can't not look at it through non-cynical lenses because it's like,
yeah.
you're doing this because you're like, remember this? It's yeah. not, so far it hasn't been serving the story. Loki did. That was a very interesting like take on it because it wasn't like, oh, we can get Michael Keaton's Batman and Loki. It's like, it just served the story. It was about like, what makes a Loki Loki?
Yeah, like and- Avengers 5 will be like, the core Avengers lineup will be like, Paul Rudd as Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Homer Simpson.
The 2002, Chris Evans will be in it, but as Human Fantastic Torch. Four, yeah. yeah. It would just be like anything.
And Free Guy.
Yeah, Free Guy and Deadpool.
And except it will be Black Free Guy.
Yeah, and Rick.
And Rick, yeah.
And we're just like, okay.
Imagine yeah, someone, my favorite Avenger is Black Free Guy.
Black Free Guy is awesome. But yeah, it was just like, it's just reaching a point now where I'm like, it is that Patton Oswalt bit from, but not from Eternals,
yeah, no,
but from Parks and Recreation. And no, I'm not talking about Star-Lord, but when he filibusts saying yes. like, you know, the Star Wars movie is going to be Wolverine, like that whole thing. It is like, I cannot look at the multiverse like that. And I hope I'm proven wrong.
Yeah.
But for now, it just feels like Lego movie fired, which is fine. It served that movie. It made sense as we established. Yeah,
of course, totally.
And it's crucial to the point of Spider-Verse.
Oh, and like Lego Movie did a sequel where they held back on that multiverse yeah. side of things. Yeah,
totally. And it's
they the made whole point a way of, more personal sequel. You
and
know?
It's totally the point of Spider-Verse as well.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm just like the leaks, everything.
But also, Spider-Verse was like, hey, here's all these different spider people.
Yeah,
it wasn't like, hey, what if Homer Simpson was Spider-Man?
Oh, Marge, I ran out of my web. I ate it. Homie, where's your web? I ate it. And that is literally all the Disney Plus Simpsons are, aren't they? They just like put a fucking Matrix cloak on him and it's just like, all right, we own the Matrix now. Introduce it to people.
Oh, well, you know what they say, Peter? With great power comes great responsibility.
It's like, we finally see Tom Holland's Uncle Ben get shot and it's just Brian from Family Guy. He's so good if he became Spider-Man.
Dude, my favorite piece of MCU-related media this year is someone did an edit of you know, Alfred Molina as Dr. Octopus,
yeah.
You know, showing up in the new
oh yeah
the Peter. New movie. And he goes, hi Peter, and then it just cuts to Peter Griffin, and then the first stab,
of, and there's of the other one. Have you seen where they've dubbed him and he's Patrick Warburton, and he's like Peter,
hey, Peter. Yeah, yeah. <It's> like,
they're the two best things. Peter, but it'd be so good if just Brian died, just married to Aunt May. He was not Uncle Ben.
Brian.
It's Uncle Brian. It's just like. Yeah, when he died, I remember in Family Guy, Brian died.
Yeah, yeah.
Just tied him with that.
He got hit by a car, yeah, right? And he wasn't in it for a while.
Yeah, and they replaced him with Paulie from The Sopranos.
What?
Like a mean dog.
Oh my God.
But he's just like, Peter, I'm sorry I never took you to Avatar Land. who else is there?
Well, anyway, look, Kingo, you think he's going to return. There's this spectacular moment for him to return.
Because he's kind of deemed like the selfish one in a
also,
way.
Also, there was someone, we both found a Twitter account and the tweet, like, you know, weeks before Eternals came out and their username was Gilgamesh and Kingo die in Eternals. And Gilgamesh does die in Eternals. Yeah. I was like, oh shit, I guess Kingo's about to die too.
Yeah.
And there's one point where I really thought he's about to fire, like, you know, one of his shit beams at Icarus, and Icarus is going to kill him. And I even lent over at one point, and I was like, which actor of color is going to die next?
Yeah, so can either be Camille or the deaf girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Or we've lost Selma.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fastos.
It ended up being Icarus, so well done, Marvel.
Can they
but
die?
But he died out of...
How can they die? They're eternal.
Well, I guess they'll get rebuilt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how can any of these characters die? They're global characters, yeah. Yeah, Kingo never returns to the battle. He just shows up
at the end
of the movie.
Putting suitcases in a car.
But then he's one of the three Eternals that gets like warped into space, summoned into the Celestial to pay for their crimes.
Yeah.
So at the end, it's Phastos, Kingo, and Cersei, who, incidentally, are also the three Eternals that you can meet if you go to Disneyland.
I love that.
You can meet three people. You can meet an Indian person, a black person.
Gay person.
Yeah, of course.
And a Eurasian.
Yeah. Similar outfits to the Eternals, and you can have conversations with them.
I would love if like a World War II vet goes to Disneyland and sees Phastos with like a Japanese man and just starts crying.
Honestly,
just starts pointing. He's like, "You're responsible." just can't take it. Like the start of Saving Private Ryan when he like goes to the grave.
But yeah, it's so funny. If you want a real good time, look up Disneyland Eternals. Dude, you can just see people like taking posing.
But what do you think is going to happen? Wait, do you have anything else you want to say about the movie?
Talk about the Eternals? We didn't talk about Druig. Druig, he was okay.
He was funny. He was wore leather, but they just like absolutely.
Except maybe he's the worst of them all because he like controlled a tribe, and like had
was that a clever metaphor for Jeff Bezos and Amazon? Because it was in the Amazon.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was controlling these. people of color to do his dirty work and like build things.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe
Chloe Zhao's a very good writer.
Very, very subversive text.
I hate that. I like No Man's Land.
But she's a great director.
Is she doing a Star Wars movie next?
Well, apparently the Kevin Feige movie, which they'll probably be announcing this week, might be directed by her. Because they've delayed, they've pushed back.
Just take
Rogue
that bag
Squadron.
Of cash that she got and just do more like. Personal project.
Well, she wanted to do this. I want to have a look in a second. She pitched this to Marvel.
Right.
She's like, she pitched Eternals to them. And it's never happened before. No one has gone to Marvel going, I want to do this. And then it happens.
There's even this like thing where all of the Eternals to beat this Celestial.
Oh, the Mind Hive or whatever.
They have a mind, hive mind or whatever it is that Phastos makes. Exactly. And you see all the Eternals get like hoisted up in the air and they're connected. And even... Icarus, who does not want to join the
Hive
Mind. He gets connected.
I thought
it'd
go to Kingo. Like, it'd go around
the
world.
Where's Kingo? He's just not in it. Like I said, where's Kingo to be? And B said, who's Kingo? And then I said, why are we married?
Production. Marvel Studios said April 2018 they were developing a film based on Eternals, created by Jack Kirby. They met with screenwriters believed to be focusing on Cersei. June Feige said Marvel was interested in exploring the ancient aliens kind of sci-fi by having Eternals be the inspiration for myths. And like, they didn't even really do that much, did they? They kind of hint, they're like, Athena. And she's like, Athena. And they're like,
yeah.
Icarus did that. Like, it kind of did it, but not like enough. A Marvel director searched for Eternals narrow to a shortlist that included Chloe Zhao, who was also in the running to direct Black Widow. I didn't know that. But then she approached Marvel Studios about making the film. She's a big fan of the MCU and wanted to work with the studio to bring her own take and world building and impress them with a presentation that Feige said was fascinating with realms of visuals. So she pitched like to them. She mustn't like MCU that much.
Did you see that Paul Thomas Anderson this week said that one of his favorite movies Venom 2? Of the year was, Venom 2 and Shang-Chi.
So good.
He said that he like MCU's play such a big role in his house.
Yeah.
I love that he's like, you know, just hanging out with
I love
his
that
kids
he's like going to see Let There Be Carnage with the kids. That fucking rules. Dog, we're seeing it next Friday.
Man, that's wild as hell.
I'm so excited. Wait. I know.
So, look, I want to...
I kind of liked the visuals. I thought it was really interesting. Not when they're standing around like talking while it's always magic hour. Like that could have looked nice. It didn't look great for some reason. This, it looked very stale, but I did like the... a celestial being birthed from Earth. It looked like End of Evangelion.
I want to talk about that because I want to talk about the end credit scenes,
the implications now of what the fuck happens,
why this is the first Marvel movie in so long to like explicitly demand a sequel. Like I feel like they haven't done that since Avengers.
No, I
don't know, like it's really weird.
So then it ends, they get summoned, well, like the fucking Rick and Morty head.
I need to go cough my head off and drink a liter of green tea.
Okay.
And then come back, I reckon.
We've done so much.
We've already done an hour. And as most listeners know, when Hey Fam hits an hour, it's Pay Fam time, baby.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about the
cough and nut some living sperm while you can.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I just have a quick bust. Show Angus my fertile sperm.
Hot sperm summer.
Which
Eternal's that? The small Kingo. White one.
Kingo.
Kingo.
That's what, every time he's
shooting sperm
blasting.
Out your fingers.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the end credit scenes and what this means for the future of Marvel. And more excitingly, we're going to continue the Wachowski pod. This week we are talking about Speed Racer.
Yeah.
A movie which I was like a little reluctant to watch after, you know, enduring a two and a half hour plus misguided comic book adaptation in The Eternals. And I know this is quite a maligned movie, Speed Racer. I would much rather be a Speed Racer myself and play Horizon, Forza Horizon 5, which I did a little bit of this morning.
Wish I could.
God, I loved it. You know, it's a week. Next week will be a week since PS5 and Xbox came out. A year. It's been a week.
Been a big week.
50 whatever weeks. But
it's been...
I watched Speed Racer today.
It's been 1 week, Gilgamesh.
Angus watched Speed Racer for the first time as well this week.
Yeah.
And,
I was like, watch it. I didn't want to push you too much, but I was like, trust me, watch it.
I just thought it was all downhill from like
the first Matrix. See, I'm so curious about the Wachowskis post-Matrix with Speed Racer, Cloud Atlas, and Jupiter Ascending. Like, it's fucking crazy.
Could not believe how much I love Speed Racer. It's the best. And,
like, it ran so Scott Pilgrim could walk.
Dude, for real. Like, what a special movie.
I loved it.
Like, maybe the most misunderstood blockbuster.
I was almost going to say, like, make your kids watch it. Because it was like a cartoon.
Yeah, oh, totally, right?
Yeah,
it was bonkers.
There's a monkey in it who got abused on set, which I'll read about.
Oh, wow. Kids not love sexually. That. He throws his shit in the movie, but off on the set.
They throw the shit at the monkey.
Exactly. So, yeah, we're going to talk Speed Racer. We're going to talk Eternals.
And what
post-credit scene
is happening with Phase 4 and what we kind of... I have a few things that I want from Marvel because I'm actually losing interest.
Yeah, but you have... And they know too. They have Spider-Man and they have Hawkeye. Before the year is over, you're going to end the year being like, oh, yeah, what a great year for Marvel.
But I'm not going to forget the lows.
Okay. Well, come and keep living those lows with us over at PayFam. And then, of course, the soaring highs of Speed Racer over at Patreon.
The loop-de-loops.
Patreon.com/HeyFam. $5 a month is all it costs to get a bonus hour-long episode of HeyFam every single fucking week.
It's crazy.
There are hundreds of hours of extra PayFam episodes now. Go and
better than
them.
All of them are better than The Eternals. Except if
you heard it from him, he would never lie. Patreon.com/HeyFam. Come and check it out. Plus, you get access to our Discord, which is filled with many people who liked Eternals way more than we
did. I saw Dune.
Angus saw Dune.
Yeah.
And there's a Dune spoil channel in the HeyFam Discord.
I saw Dune and Eternals within like 20 hours of each other.
A lot of people are saying like, oh yeah, it's Marvel's answer to Dune.
No, it's not. It's absolutely
they
not.
They both have sand.
Dune's like a really good movie. Maybe the best movie I've seen in like years.
Wow. So come and talk, come and listen to us talk more.
I took on a Kit Curry smashing milk as well.
Oh man, Speed Race is going to be so fun to talk about.
Kummy.
So yeah, come and hang out with us over at patreon.com/heyfam. Thanks so much for listening to this episode and we will see you very soon.
The kid.
What are you snorting at?
The kid from Speed Race. He looks like an old Italian man.
He looked, yeah, like he... He walked, so the old Italian man kid from Modern Family.
Oh, yeah. This is him. He's the original. Oh, man. That's sick. Hey! Bam! 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 Bam!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.